So hello, everyone. God morning. I mean, we do say that God is all there is, right? So if God is all there is, then this has to be a God morning, right? As every day would be, a God morning. Now, it was very interesting that today, while we were on the subway, because the theme for this month is, what, do you know? Abundant imagination. And we were on the subway today, and we were talking about this thing, you know, imagination. And it was funny that this guy behind me literally said, well, when I was a child, I had such a vivid and active and a wild imagination, but I've suppressed it since then. I'm like, literally, and I wanted to turn to him and say, you know, Unity of New York would be the place to be today because that's what I'm going to be talking about. So I would like us to, if you're willing, well, there's a disclaimer first. Anyone in here have a weak stomach? Okay, so we're all going to play. So what I would like us to do, if you trust me, and I know you do, for a moment, let us close our eyes and ground ourselves. Now, the important thing with this is I need you to be very in tune with your body. Meaning, if you get a cramp in your calf, be aware of it. Don't ignore it. Don't be aware. And if you're not sure you can do it, get a partner and have them watch you. Okay? Eyes closed for those who are willing. And what I want you to do is imagine, see yourself walking into your kitchen or into a kitchen. And I want you to go to the refrigerator and open the refrigerator door and reach in and take out a nice, fresh lemon. And you take the lemon out and you walk over to the counter and you grab a knife and you're getting ready to cut it, but you don't. You take the lemon, rather, and bite into it the same way you do an apple. And feel what it feels like in your mouth. Taste what it tastes like. And then, fully having enjoyed that, pull it away from your mouth and look at it and see that there is half a worm remaining. And then when you are ready and comfortable, open your eyes. Now, I saw some frowny faces and I heard some laughter. Share with me for a moment. Why did you laugh, if you want to share? The surprise effect. Those who, when I mentioned the lemon, because the young lady right there in the black without the sleeves, I saw your face, so I won't call you out. But why did we frown, those who frowned? Why? You weren't biting into it. So why was the thought of it enough to make your face, your body, your salivation glands, why did this respond the way it did when it was merely your imagination? The thought of. Because how many times do we say things like, just the thought of my mother annoys me. Just the thought of going to work on Monday makes me dread, blah, 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 blah. How many times do we say things like, just the thought of. But then we completely bypass the realization that by our thoughts we shape our lives. So one of the great benefits, which I've probably shared with you before, so I'm going to share it again, is that I get this great benefit of traveling and speaking to a vast number of people, right? And I have conversation, and I pray with people, and we meditate, and do a whole bunch of things via Facebook or phone or whatever. And one of the things that I notice, those of us in New Thought, we have allowed ourselves to hit a glass ceiling. We have allowed ourselves to hit the level of consciousness, or some level of consciousness, and stop. Now, many, many, many years ago, there's this woman, Emma Curtis Hopkins, and she teaches this couple by the name of Charles, his wife's name was Myrtle. Anyhow, you know who I'm talking about, right? So Emma Curtis Hopkins teaches Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And based upon her teachings, they expanded it and created unity. Same thing that happened with divine science and religious science. So she took them this far, and then they went this far. Are we taking it and doing this? Or are we doing what some of our other brothers and sisters do with their religious practices, and we are making it into a dogma and a doctrine and allowing ourselves to hit a limit? If I'm not mistaken, Steve Jobs said that the very people who change the world are the misfits, The crazy folks who are just crazy enough to believe that the world can change. They are the ones who change it. Because the ones who, you know, what do we call people? The stick in the mud, the logical, it has been this way for the last 50 years, let us not rock the boat, it is how it has been, it is how it shall be. Like all of those people who get very comfortable in their spirituality are no longer rocking the boat. A mentor of mine once said that spirituality, your spiritual practice, should afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. If it is not doing that, then something is missing. We should be challenging ourselves. And the very place that we should challenge ourselves the most, because we know there is only one mind, that mind is God's mind. And that mind is my mind right now. So the only, everything is made out of, this isn't a fern. It's not, this isn't a podium. This isn't a microphone and a microphone stand. It's God showing up as fern, microphone stand, podium, flowers, you. It's God showing up as. But do we acknowledge that on any given day? Yes, we may acknowledge it during the 5 minutes of meditation. Yes, we may acknowledge it during the moment of meeting with a prayer chaplain and praying, and they remind us of it. But when you are on the subway, do you remind yourself of it? When you are in the doctor's office and the doctor says something that you don't want to hear, do you remind yourself of it? When you have just had an argument with someone, or you are telling your child to study and do what they want to do, and they say, I hate you, do you remind yourself that not only are you divine, but so are they, you little stubborn, I love you, but you're God and I love God. Do we remind ourselves at every given opportunity and moment, God is all there is? Because the very place to remind ourselves of it, because I know it's challenging. I know it's difficult on that Monday morning you go to work and you think you're getting a promotion and you got fired or laid off. I know that's difficult. I know it's a challenge to turn on the news and watch the news and see whatever's going on the news and remind yourself that I see this and it is a factual experience, but it's not truth. It's a big difference between what is happening as fact. Is this a truth? That this is a microphone and a podium stand. Because if I ask you to come up and take the microphone and podium stand, you're going to say, oh, okay. Oh, this isn't, oh. So I'm supposed, okay. You know what it is. So yes, we are going to label effects. We are going to label the things that we call matter. But if we sink beneath matter to the truth, we realize that it really doesn't matter. The very stuff we are making, the priorities in our lives don't matter unless we make it so. So when the doctor says, ah, when the husband, wife, or partner says, ooh, when the news and whomever on the news, doesn't matter who, says, ah, do we allow it to matter? Do we allow their words to take root in our consciousness and change and transform our substance that we are now outpicturing, demonstrating and manifesting the seeds that they planted? Or are we such master gardeners of our own consciousness that when something does fall on the soil of our minds, we can identify weed, rosebush, yes, potatoes, what is that, zucchini? I don't know. But at least I can identify it. Are we able to identify what we want, what we don't want, what we like, what we don't like? Yes, we can identify the, I don't like, I don't want. But do we really step into what we do like, what we do want? And not just as a, I love chocolate cake. Yeah, that's great and fine. But are we living as chocolate cake? Because it's one thing to say, I want, I like. But are we living from that place of, I have chocolate cake. I am chocolate cake. So we say, I want to be happy. But when do we step into, I am happy? And live from that place. To the degree that even when something happens, someone turns on the fan and the whoop hits the fan, I'm happy nonetheless because my happiness is not determined by the external. My happiness is not determined by this umbrella. Because we have a consciousness that is able to block the matter that flies at us in life. So today's talk title is specifically for those who you have the program. What's it say? In unison, since Reverend Britt did it. In unison. Today, in outdream yourself. We all have or have had dreams. Some of us may be at an age where we're not quite sure exactly what we're going to dream, but we will have dreams nonetheless. Do we allow those dreams to be stifled by? I've told the story before here, I don't know, but when I was in high school, an art teacher of mine told me, you don't have the talent to be an artist. Because what I was going to do was I was going to move to California. I was going to work in the movie industry as a special effects technician, because when I saw Star Wars, I lost my mind. It was magic. Any Star Wars folks? Oh, thank you. Then you understand. I'm like, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to move in, like, row 7, seat 14, that's my new address. Send all, okay. So I tell my art teacher, because my art teachers, they're supposed to support you, like, they're supposed to be your role models, they're supposed to be the ones that encourage you. And this man said, you don't have the talent, you will never, don't waste your time, just don't even bother. Go to the military. And what did Ray do? Okay, I didn't go to the military, but I didn't follow my dream. So I said, well, if he says I'm not a good enough artist, then maybe I should go to art school and become a better artist. So I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh and took classes and went back and told him, I'm practicing, I'm learning, I'm improving. And he said, no, you didn't get my memo. Your skill is not sufficient. I don't care where you go to school. You're never going to be. So, being the stubborn, rebellious child that Lois and Charles raised, at that point, I put my foot down and said, you know what, I'm going to get this degree to spite you now. And that's what I did. But the ultimate thing is, if I tell you right now, my goal, my dream, is for one day Oprah to say, so I heard about this guy, Reverend Dr. Raymond Anderson, and I want him to have a show on OWN. And someone from OWN contacts me and says, oh, I'm from Harpo Industries or Harpo whatever, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, huh, I've been waiting. I've been expecting you to call. I don't care who laughs. I don't care who naysays. As long as I know that it's what I am putting in my consciousness. Whether it happens or not is not the point. The point is, am I walking the walk that says, I know that I am a powerful enough creator, manifester, demonstrator of principle of law. Because we practice this thing called new thought. And it's not a, some people think, oh, you do that new thought, you go to unity. Oh, don't y'all eat cotton candy and, you know, have unicorns and stuff? I mean, we do have rainbows and stuff, but that's beside the point. It's a different kind of thing. But it's that bubble gum and rain, it's that, isn't it? No. This teaching is difficult. This teaching is challenging because it brings the accountability where? Squarely to you. I don't care what mom, dad, brother, sister, uncle, teacher, I don't care what Father O'Malley, I don't care what anybody ever did or ever does from this point forward. It really doesn't matter. What matters is, what do we do in our consciousness based upon? Because ultimately, when something does happen, if we're not clear in our consciousness, then we're always at the beck and call. We're always at the end of someone else's strings, doing whatever they want us to do, however they want us to do it. And at some point, we need to take Pinocchio's theme song, I've got no strings to hold me down, period. And live from that place of, I am free. I am free. And what does that mean? It means having the awareness to know that you know that you know. We take classes and we do all this stuff to be transformed. And it says in the Bible, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, but at some point, class, transform, Class, transform. Class, transform. We're not transformers. Great movie, great concept, but that's not what we are. At some point, we have to do what Moses did and what Jesus did. So Moses, you know the guy? Have you heard of him before? So there's a story in the Bible, which very people don't really talk about that much. Moses goes to this mountain, and on the mountain, you've probably heard this story before, because he came back with some tablets that people then decided to... So he goes on this mountain, he comes back down, and, you know, on this mountain, he was transfigured. And he comes down, and his very countenance was shining. Shining to such a degree that those who saw him were like, dude, what? Where's the dimmer switch? Like, they couldn't look at him because of how brightly he shone. So what did he do? He covered his head with a veil. He stifled his own light to make it easier on others. Is that what we're doing? Some of us are, though. Now, granted, we have a choice. We can do or not do, and that's fine. But know that you have a choice. There's another guy, Jesus, Yeshua. He goes, same thing, goes up to this high mountain hill, depending on which translation, and he takes three disciples with him that are said to be the most spiritual of his disciples, Peter, John, and James. And we already know from Charles Fillmore, the 12 Powers of Man, that each of these disciples represents something. Faith, love, truth. He takes them with him. He takes faith, love, and truth. And is transfigured. Meaning, transfiguration is knowing that you know that you know. Prior to that, it was become something. Become something. And at some point, we have to stop becoming and be. Whatever that is, be it. Be the Christ. Stop looking for it. Stop attempting to find it. Or even attempting to let it emerge. Because sometimes we use that as the very thing to prevent us from doing so. Because as long as I keep looking for it, I don't have to find it. And as long as I don't find it, ain't nobody going to expect nothing great of me. Because I can just, you know, I can just skate on by. But the moment someone says, there's something about you, there's something about your aura, whenever I'm around you, I feel love. We feel like, well, I have to give that off all the time. And sometimes we don't want to be the beacon of light. Sometimes we want to, out of service. And that's fine, because we need to get away sometimes and recharge our own batteries. Yes, that is fine. Knowing that you actually have two batteries, per se, for the sake of conversation, for the sake of the poetry, you have two batteries. You have the human battery, which can be depleted. But you have an infinite battery, a divine battery, a sacred battery, a Christ battery. And that Christ battery also has a bunny. And it never stops. Because it, are y'all laughing at me? I get the distinct feeling. Did you not like the bunny? Anyhow, whatever. I don't even care. But you have this infinite power, not just at your disposal. It's what you are. It's what you are. So the very essence of all that you are can never run out, can never die, can never stop. But the moment I get attached to this, not the shirt, not the sleeve, not the forearm, this thing called Ray, the moment I get attached to it, then I'm afraid of what happens if I lose my job. Because of how it affects Ray. The Christ part of me is like, I've been waiting for that job to end so we can go do funner, greater, grander things. You're holding on to this job like, but I'm patient and I'm going to wait. Losing the job was the best thing to happen. How many times have we heard that song before of, hold on, and, you know, the yoga of hope, hold on, and then it happens. Boom! Ow. Life knocks you down. And then when you get up, you realize, you know, losing that job, losing that relationship, whatever, was the best thing that could have happened to me. So we know this on certain levels. What would happen if we said, this is where I've been dreaming. This is what I've expected of myself. I want to be a Broadway musician. I suppose that's it. And I say, well, I just want to be a Broadway musician. You just put a limit on it. I just want, what does that even mean? I just want to be. Limit. I just want to be happy. You just want to be happy. Why not? I want to be happy in ways that I can't even right now fathom or imagine. Because I know that there are things on this planet that I have never and may never experience while in this body. Because there are far too many beautiful people for me to meet. Chances are I'm not going to meet them all. I would have to make that my full-time job. So I'm not going to meet them all. All of the delicious foods, I'm probably not going to be able to eat them all. All of the amazing sights, I'm probably not going to be able to see them all. But I'm available and open to it. I'm available and open to be happier than I have ever been, happier than I can imagine. I'm open and available to being so filled with joy that the moment I walk into Starbucks, everybody in Starbucks feels joy and doesn't know why, because it's bubbling off of me. That we should be able to walk into a place and change the atmosphere of it because of how powerful we are. We know the story of the woman that ran up and like, look, if I can just grab that coat that Jesus is wearing, I'm boom. And Jesus is like, oh, hey, how's everybody? Whoa, wait a minute, somebody touched me. And he felt the energy shift. Do we walk around like people who know that we are that powerful as well? Do we walk around realizing and knowing that we can change what's going on in the government, what's going on in countries here and there, that we are that powerful? There was a study done by Dr. John Hagelin. If you've anybody ever seen What the Bleep, he talks about it in What the Bleep. And he says a group of people got together and meditated, and they told the FBI and they told the people in D.C., yeah, we're going to lower the crime rate simply by meditating. And the FBI was like, and the people in D.C. were like, and everybody said, you're stupid, it'll never happen. And they said, watch us, just measure it and watch us. When are you doing this? During the summer. Oh, you've really lost your mind. The only thing that's going to drop the crime rate by that much in the middle of summer is a blizzard. Stupid. And they got together and meditated and came back at the end, and people in the FBI and whoever, they were like, what did you do? What did you do? This shouldn't be possible. But a group of people got together and meditated. We've heard of Dr. Emoto. Water, thinking and speaking and changing the very molecular structure of water and how much of us is made out of water. How much water, if we could collect the water in the air, how much water, so if we can affect and change the vibration of, then right here between me and this young lady right there, there is no space. There is absolutely nothing but oneness. So the very thing that I choose to be has no choice but to affect her or him or her. But do we walk around knowing this or even being willing to know this? Or is it far easier to say, well, it's my mom's fault that I, it's my dad's fault that I, it's the government's fault that I, it's the terrorist's fault that we, it's the this, it's the that, it's the that. One thing is far more empowering. You pray. But if you stop at that, then you are praying amiss. What you're supposed to do is when I meet with a prayer chaplain and they pray, and they are knowing and speaking the truth for us, that the moment he ends with, and so it is, amen, I should walk away knowing that truth has been anchored and has no choice but to now show up in my life. But if he has ended with, amen, so it is, and I'm like, oh God, I hope that works, then I have just taken similar thing. He says, Ray, you need some money? I'm like, yeah, I could use a little bit. He said, here's $100. And I'm like, oh, wow, cool. How many of us would do that? Nobody in this room is going to be like, you give me $100. I'm not setting it on fire. But we do that with our prayers. We do that with our affirmations. We do that with our declarations. Someone knows and declares the truth for us, And no sooner as we are out of their sight, woof, we set it up in flame. Because there's a part of us that does not want to be magnificent. There's a part of us that does not want to know how lovely and loved and beloved we are. Because there is still some training in us that says, how dare you think you are that great, that awesome, that amazing, that beautiful, that talented? How dare you think that you have the same power as Jesus? How dare you walk and talk as if you can change the world or you can end a war? How dare you? But everything great that has ever happened on the face of this planet throughout time started with one person. One person who believed. And they believed to the degree that then they stepped into I know. And when everything and everyone stood against them, they still knew. And some of them knew to the degree where they said, I don't care if someone takes my life. I have to do this. Gandhi, I know this is going to happen, possibly, but if it is going to happen, the only thing that I want is to have the name of God come off of my lips. And I hate the fact that the movie with Ben Kingsley, because when he gets shot, he says, oh, God. Like, he says it like it's like I'm shot. Oh, God, I got shot. And I don't like the way that that's, I don't like that. That's just me. But Rama, God, I surrender. Jesus, it is finished. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I'm sure there was some phrase that I've done what I can do. I am so convicted to this truth that I am willing to shed this thing because I'm not attached to it because I know that there is something beyond this. And I am willing to surrender this to change the world. Are we willing to die to our old selves, to be reborn anew to something that you may not even know that is lying dormant, has been waiting to be birthed in you, through you, as you? Are we willing to step into that great next place of whatever it is? J.K. Rowling wanted to kill herself. And something popped up and said, hun, you love to write, so write. And she listened. And now I don't know that there's a man, woman, child, or tree on the face of this planet that does not know Harry Potter. Because this woman heard and felt the call to be something she didn't even imagine, couldn't imagine at that time, that was her truth. Are we willing to step into that and live from that place moment by moment? Someone in a recent class said to me, you know, the whole idea of, you know, being a light unto the world, it's too much. It's too much for me. I can't be responsible for her and him and him and him and him and her and her and her. It's too much. That's right there. That's too much. That's, you don't have to be the light of the world. Be a light of your world. Because the moment you shine so brightly in your world, because let's imagine, if every light in here was automatically just, boom, cut off. And one person lit a candle. She doesn't have to light a candle. She just light her candle. And everybody in here will be able to see her light. And if we have a candle and I'm like, I got one. Is it okay? And I light mine from hers. And the light's bigger. And then somebody else says, can I light mine? And now it's bigger. That's what we're called to do. All you have to do is shine your light so brightly. Don't cover it with a veil. Outdream yourself. This and or something greater. I don't want to just be a teacher. I don't want to just be a prayer chaplain. I don't want to just be a... I want to be that and or something greater. Years ago when I was a... I saw a cousin kill his mother's boyfriend, and I ended up in therapy and a whole bunch of stuff, right? And all of my former childhood abuse stuff came to the surface. Because it's not fun. If we get into a conversation over coffee and we start chatting and da-da-da-da, you're going to find out stuff you didn't know, you didn't want to know. So it's what my therapist did. So, Ray, tell me about the actual assault. and then womb. So somewhere in there, she started asking me, so what do you want to be? Like when you're in school right now, what do you want to be? And I told her. And it was, I want to be an author and a teacher, a martial artist and a martial arts teacher. And the list was like, trust and believe, it was a list of like 10 things. And my therapist echoed the same sentiment as my high school art teacher and said, pick one. You can't do all of that. Pick one. You have a vocation and an advocation. Pick one. All the other stuff can be a hobby. You can't do all of that. And I so wish that Oprah had been around right then that I would have said, boop, look, click, slide number one. Notice, actress, click, magazine, click, her own television, click, 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 click. You see this? Weight Watchers, I can eat bread now. Click, like, you see this? Where does she stop? Where does she stop? She doesn't. Oprah does what Oprah wants to do. Because she believes in herself. She knows. And even when something happens that she has like doubt, I'm not sure if that, trust and believe. Outdream yourself. Believe that you can do whatever has come up. Because the moment it comes up, that's the universe saying, let's play. Nothing can come into your mind just out of, boop, where did that come from? I'm not doing that. But the moment it comes up, Julia Child, the moment it comes up, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Walt Disney, the moment it comes up, it's the universe saying, knock, knock. Guess who's here? Infinite possibilities, ready and willing to be birthed in you, through you, with you, and as you. As you, if you are willing. And so it is.
Raymond Anderson, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Let's prepare to lower the crime rate as we am so blessed. Then we now go to that place of knowingness. That place of transformation. The renewing of our mind. We let go of everything outside of this moment. For in this moment, we have everything we could ever possibly need. Everything. There's never a time this is not true. And as we feel ourselves trusting, letting go, dropping deeper into that place of recharge, the recharging of that true Christ self, that infinite power that dwells in each and all of us. We breathe. We breathe. And we enter into the window of our mind. And we begin to drop from that place deep down into the heart, into that knowingness. The very core, the very spark of our magnificence. You are so magnificent, so beautiful, perfect exactly as you are. That's the true you. Not what you do or what you've done or what anyone has ever said about you. You are magnificent. From this place of the heart, what is it that you are being called to do, to be? Just be you. Be you, all that you are here to be. The true light of magnificence. You are a true divine creation. Created with sacred worth. And you could not possibly live outside the heart of God. And in that place of the heart, in the mind's eye, allow a color to emerge. Your own true color. Whatever comes to mind, it's perfect. That is your aura. That is perfect right now in this moment. And it may change from moment to moment. Because that is your true essence, your true magnificence unfolding. And allow this color to swirl around you and envelop you. And it connects to the light within you, shining outward. So that all may see your true magnificence. And we now allow ourselves to go even deeper into the knowingness as we take a moment to enter into the silence.
You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, though I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all, and the darkness inside you can make you feel so small. But I see your true color shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow. Show me a smile then, and don't be unhappy, can't remember when I last saw you laughing. If this world makes you crazy and you're taking all you can bear, just call me up, because you know I'll be there. And I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are beautiful like rainbow. Remember when I last saw you laugh? If this world makes you crazy and you're taking all you can bear, just call me up, because you know I'll be there. And I see your true colors shining through. And I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are shining through. And I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are beautiful like a rainbow.